Haramai, good morning. This is Judith Leigh welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service. Manx Radio. Last Thursday, January the 6th, marked the official end of the Christmas season. The signal for the decorations to be taken down and carefully packed away. The last signs of the festivities gone. And we're back in our usual January routines. But is that really how it works? Might the day that we pack up the obvious signs of Christmas be also the day that we allow the message of Christmas to not only take root in us, but change us too? I'm inviting you to join me today as we explore in thoughts, words, and some wonderful music the Christmas gift that we must never pack away. The 6th of January is the Feast of the Epiphany. It's celebrated all around the world in different ways, according to local traditions. In the Orthodox Church, it marks the baptism of Christ, and the rituals in countries like Istanbul, Bulgaria, Greece and Cyprus involve blessing of the waters and men plunging into icy rivers and lakes to be the first to grasp a hold of a floating cross thrown in by the local priest. In the Christian Church, on January the 6th, we recall the coming of the Magi, the three wise men, bringing their gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh to the infant Jesus. It's also a time for enjoying this wonderful piece of music by Peter Cornelius, The Three Kings.
Three kings from Persian lands of light to Jordan follow the pointing stars, and this the quest of the travelers.
The Three Kings, sung there by the famous choir of King's College, Cambridge. Interestingly, the Gospel, according to St. Matthew, is the only place in the Bible that tells us anything about the coming of the Magi. Here's Tim Price to read from St. Matthew's Gospel, and the background music is Tim's own composition, written to fit the theme of the reading.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Tim Price reading the account of the coming of the Magi as told in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the only place in the Bible where this story is recorded. We really don't know very many definite facts about these mysterious figures, and over the years other translations have called them wise men and, as in the Christmas carol, the three kings, although the Bible doesn't actually say how many men there were. Other translations, like the one we've just heard, call them magi, which suggests that they could have been Persian priests who, as part of their religion, paid particular attention to the stars and gained an international reputation for astrology, which was at that time highly regarded as a science. That there were just three magi is also only really a guess, based on the knowledge that they brought with them three gifts. There may have been more than three, and they almost certainly would have been wealthy and had servants with them. These were men of great learning, and because of this would have been held in high esteem, not only in their own society, but by people from other countries and from other religions. To make our traditional Christmas story complete, we show the Magi bringing their gifts to Jesus just a short time after his birth, soon after the arrival of the angels and the shepherds. But in reality, Jesus was probably about 2 years old when the Magi visited him. But the three gifts, symbols of the importance of Jesus' birth, isn't in dispute. Gold representing his royal standing, his divine kingship. Frankincense, a type of incense burned during church services, representing his divinity and the fact that people would come to worship him. And myrrh, traditionally used to anoint the body of a dead person, representing Jesus' mortality, that despite him being the Son of God, he would die a human death. And of one other thing we can be absolutely sure: the coming of the kings, the wise men, the Magi, is a sign for us today that the Christ child, the Son of God in human form, came to earth for the whole world, and the fullness of life he brings is offered to everyone, whoever and wherever you are.
Lead and still proceeding, guide us to the
the combined voices of the St Michael Singers and the Coventry Singers, and another popular Epiphany carol, We Three Kings. In the chorus, we sing the words, Star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. The perfect light is, of course, the infant Jesus. But what is the star of wonder, star of night? What exactly did those wise men see in the sky that was so unusual, so special, that they felt compelled to follow it? Astronomer Howard Parkin has done a lot of research and enjoys giving talks about the Star of Bethlehem. He joins us now to share his theory.
We don't know a lot. As you say, it only appears in Matthew. But something happened. No matter what your religious faith is, or not as the case may be, something happened 2,000 years ago. We know something happened. All the books, all the references, all the different religions all point to something happening momentous 2,000 years ago. And one of them talks about this star, this apparition in the sky. And astronomers have been for years working out what this might have been. We all accept something was visible. Just what was it? Was it a celestial miracle? Was it a one-off that God did and put in the sky? That is one theory you've got to accept is a possibility. I know people don't like that one because they want to see the more detailed explanations about the planets or comets or eclipses. So something happened. That's the first thing we've got to refer to. But then if we look back historically, which we can do now, due to the wonders of computer sciences and all the rest, we can look back at all sorts of things. What we know is the wise men saw it in the east. We don't know whether they saw it in the eastern sky or they were in the east and they saw it. Most interpretations are they were in the east and they saw something. The natural phenomena is that you'll see something in the sky and it will slowly travel across and set in the west. So automatically it follows that it will go in a westerly direction. So whatever it was they saw of an astronomical nature, they saw it in the east and it set in the west. So it inspired them to follow it. What was it? The sky is your iPhone of 2,000 years ago. We today were obsessed with our phones. Phones and computers, we look at them all the time. 2,000 years ago, no books, no magazines, no TV, no internet. The only thing they had that they could look at and wonder, that they could make up stories about or make up legends about, was the sky. And that's why the constellations, the mythology of the constellations came about. So, very familiar with the sky back in the Middle East there. They, intelligent people, very familiar with the unchanging nature, the seasonal nature. They saw something that was so unusual. Now, what was it? It could have been, we've already mentioned the words eclipses and comets. Those tend to be dismissed because historically they don't seem to work. They don't fit the dates. We know Jesus was actually born, we think about 4 BC. The actual date has got lost in the changing of the Gregorian calendar and all that sort of stuff. So we know he was born sometime before 4 BC, which immediately rules out one of the things it could have been, which was a conjunction between the planets Venus and Jupiter, which occurred in 3 BC. So we know that couldn't have been it, which is one of the most popular theories of what it might have been. But unfortunately, it fails because Herod died in 3 BC. My personal view is, and I've researched this over the years, is it was what we call a triple conjunction. And what happened is the planets Jupiter and Saturn came together not once, not twice, but three times in relatively quick succession. The planets come round in the sky on an annual basis. They transit the sky as we go around the sun. We see the planets in different positions. But these triple transits only occur every 900 years. So well beyond a human lifetime. So therefore, if they saw this once, what's that? That's unusual. Hang on, it's doing it again. Hang on, it did it a third time. And that consequence of those three viewings inspired them to realise something was going on in the west, which was the direction it was setting. So that's why they headed west. And then we had a supernova erupt in the constellation Aquila. And I think the supernova in the constellation Aquila was the actual star of Bethlehem, but the triple conjunction is what led them to it.
The coming of this Messiah was being prophesied. Isaiah was writing 700 years before the birth of Jesus.
And of course, it's not just the Christian faith. Muslims believe that Jesus really was a prophet that came before Allah. Again, it was predicted, and the prophets throughout history, we talked about Isaiah a moment ago, these prophets, these very learned people who've got something to say about what's going to happen in the future or are very revered at that particular time, it fits across the whole religious spectrum, if you like.
Still proceeding, guide us.
Thank you, astronomer Howard Parkin, suggesting what might have been in the sky 2,000 years ago that appeared so unusual, so different, that the Magi felt they must leave their comfortable life and follow wherever it led. And talking of exceptional things, there are just a few people whose words are so straightforward and so timeless that they remain as true and as helpful today as when they were first spoken, in this case, some 15 years ago. Perhaps you've guessed already that I'm talking about the late and still much missed John Kenyuk.
So, who told the wise men of God's plan? How did they know what the new star in the galaxy represented? What was it that compelled them to prepare for the long journey? And how did they know what gifts would be appropriate? The mystery deepens, because when they reached Jerusalem, their intuition, if that's what it was, seemed to desert them, because they looked in the wrong place. They went to Herod's palace, of all places. When they picked up the trail again, they continued on the remarkable journey, and the narrative at this point in the story has always been very, very special to me. After hearing what the king had to say, they set out, and there before them was the star they had seen rising, and it went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the young child was. They were overjoyed at the sight of it, and entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother and bowed low in homage to him. I wonder what they said to one another when they found that their journey's end wasn't a palace at all. Many of us have supposed it was still the place where Jesus was born, but whether it was or wasn't is of little consequence. But it most certainly wasn't where the wise men expected to find him. And all through the years, men and women have tried to find Christ, and we've searched in all the places where we think he should be, and failing to find him, question the truth. So let's find Jesus in the ordinary things of life, all the unexpected places, sitting alongside the most unexpected people. Let's follow the star to the humbler scene, and when we find him, we will share the joy of the wise men.
As they always were, challenging, uplifting words from the late John Kenyuk, reminding us that the message of Christmas is a message to be actively lived out throughout the year. It is not to be put away in a box with the decorations. Howard Thurman, an African-American theologian, teacher and civil rights leader, believed that if we allow this to happen, then we've missed the whole point of Christmas. So he wrote a litany, which Dan Forrest later set to music. It's called The Work of Christmas. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among the people, to make music in the heart.
Kings and princes are born.
The Work of Christmas. Matthew Curtis and his choir there. And let's finish with a final thought from the late John Kenyuck.
If you've managed in a few quiet moments to capture the real truth of Christmas, you will know that the Christ of Christmas was later to declare, "I make all things new," and he will change things that we believe can't be changed. A man well-travelled and well-informed said to me in a recent conversation, "I doubt if the world will ever know peace again." And in our lives, if we put Christ away in the box with the fairy lights, he may well be right. But if we open ourselves to his influence and his teaching, I believe he will make what I now believe impossible, possible. It's been a tremendous privilege to share my thoughts with you, and I sign off now and wish you God's richest blessing in the new year.
Moya Brennan and Love Came Down at Christmas. And now let's take a look at our notice board. And I'm afraid it's mostly notices of cancellations this week. Reverend Liz Hull says that for the time being, all weekday activities at St Thomas's Church in Finch Road here in Douglas have been suspended. But of course, the service every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock in St Thomas's will still be held as usual with a warm welcome for everyone. And Reverend Joe Dudley says, "Sadly, we have decided we must cancel the Epiphany service planned for this Sunday afternoon at St Adamnan's, Long and Old Church. Unfortunately, the building is just too small to allow public worship with suitable social distancing, which is being recommended at the present time. And I'm also informed that due to the current COVID situation, the Mariners service at Colby, scheduled for next Sunday evening, the 16th of January, has also been cancelled. I'll let you know as soon as the Mariners services resume. But finishing on a more positive note, next Sunday, the 16th, Kirk Andreas, Andreas Parish Church, invite you to join them for their Plough Sunday service. That's next Sunday morning at 10:30. As you're probably aware, all churches are recommending that you take a lateral flow test before attending a service, wear a face mask if you're able to do so, and make use of the space available so you're not sitting too close to the next person. And that's all that we have time for now, but I'll be back later, so do please join me if you can tonight at 9 o'clock for Sundown, a mix of easy listening music to round off your weekend. And do please email me if you've got items for the notice board or you'd like to request a favourite hymn to be included in a future programme. My email address is judithleigh@manxradio.com and I'd love to hear from you. So till whenever we meet again, this is Judith saying thank you for listening and I wish you and those you love a blessed, healthy and peaceful week and a very good morning.
Station.